Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with an expose in Sunday's New York Times of Vladimir Putin's illicit fortune and get an analysis of whether targeted sanctions against Putin and his cronies will restrain military action against Ukraine amid rising tensions in eastern Ukraine, where Russian and Ukrainian forces appear to be on a collision course. Bill Browder, the chief executive and founder of Hermitage Capital Market, who was the largest foreign investor in Russia until 2005 when he was denied entry and declared a threat to Russian national security, joins us. We'll discuss whether the Magnitsky Act, named after Browder's murdered Russian lawyer, will be extended to the EU and the money laundering havens such as Luxembourg, Cyprus, Switzerland, and the Pacific island of Nauru. Then, on the 20th anniversary of the end of apartheid in South Africa, celebrated on April the 27th, known as Freedom Day, we will speak with Catherine Newman, the Dean of the Arts and Sciences and Professor of Sociology at Johns Hopkins University. She is the co-author of a new book, After Freedom, The Rise of the Post-Apartheid Generation in Democratic South Africa, and we will discuss the unfinished business of the historic transition to the new South Africa under Nelson Mandela, where today economic justice lags behind democratic freedom. Then finally, Bruce Fine joins us in the studio. He is a former senior advisor to the Ron Paul 2012 presidential campaign and was recently the lawyer for Edward Snowden's father, Lon. We will discuss Bruce Fine's attempts to make a deal for Edward Snowden with the Justice Department and the current status of Snowden, whose fate is entirely in the hands of Vladimir Putin. We will also discuss the rise in the profile of the Republican presidential hopeful, Senator Rand Paul, and the growing influence of libertarian activism on American campuses, where the once dominant political left is either dormant or dying. And joining us now is Bill Browder, who's the chief executive and founder of Hermitage Capital Markets. He was the largest foreign investor in Russia until November of 2005, when he was suddenly denied entry into the country and declared a threat to national security by the Russian government for exposing corruption. Since 2009, when his lawyer, Sergei Magnitsky, died in a Russian prison after uncovering a $230 million fraud committed by Russian government officials, he has been leading a global campaign to expose the corruption and human rights abuses endemic in Russia. As a result of this campaign, the Sergei Magnitsky Rule of Law Accountability Act was signed into U.S. law in 2012, imposing visa bans and asset freezes on certain officials involved in Magnitsky's death. Browder is currently working to have similar legislation passed across the European Union as a means to seek justice for Magnitsky and fight government-backed corruption in Russia. Welcome to Background Briefing, William Browder.
Thank you very much.
And what was your sense of the lead article in Sunday's New York Times on efforts to uncover Putin's illicit fortune? It sort of skirts around the smoking gun, but do you think it really delivers? I mean, I take it you have sort of inside knowledge of, or certainly inside experience on what it's like to do business in Russia, and particularly in Putin's Russia.
Well, I think the subject of the article kind of hits the nail on the head, which is that first of all, why do we have all these problems with Putin invading Ukraine and taking Crimea? And in my opinion, the answer is because Putin has been running a kleptocracy for the last 14 years, and he was worried that the same thing was going to happen to him that happened to the Ukrainian president, which is that the Russian people would overthrow him. So he started a whole military campaign to try to create nationalism, improve his approval ratings, and have people not pay attention to his corruption. So if you accept that as what's going on, and a lot of the insiders in Russia do, then the question is, well, how do you stop him? If his worry is about getting overthrown and his worry is about his money, then the answer is you go after his money. And so the fact that on the front page of the New York Times, they're talking about Vladimir Putin's money, and they're talking about it openly, and they're talking about how you get at it, I think is an extremely positive sign, because nobody's sort of messing around anymore. This is what Putin cares about. He cares about his money. And if you can figure out where it is and you can figure out how to freeze it, then you actually have some real leverage over this man.
Well, the Russian dissident Garry Kasparov, the chess master, has said that Putin is not afraid of tanks, he's afraid of banks. But we're poised for what could, you know, there's such a tinderbox there. Any spark could ignite it. You've got these roaming Russian thugs in their black masks, and then you've got the possibility of some of the right sector people in Ukraine who are equally fanatical clashing with each other that could draw in Russian and Ukrainian forces. So this is a pretty high wire act that Putin is on in order to distract the Russian people.
Well, there's no question. It's a hugely risky operation, and I think that the fact that it's so risky and the fact that it's effectively so desperate shows you how worried Putin was about getting overthrown and run out of the country and losing all his money and all that kind of stuff. Garry Kasparov couldn't be more right. It's all about banks, not tanks. Having said that, there are somewhere around 40 to 50,000 soldiers who are lined up just across the Ukrainian border in Russia, ready to invade. And I don't doubt that Putin is ready to invade and will invade at some point. And I don't think that there's really much that can be done to stop him. I think the thing that can be done to stop him, or the thing that can get him thinking twice, is if we actually go after his money and the money of his cronies and freeze it. But then we have some leverage. Then we have a negotiation. If we freeze his money, it's like it's the one thing we can do short of military action to stop him from invading another European country and redrawing the borders.
Again, I'm speaking with Bill Browder, who's the chief executive and founder of Hermitage Capital Markets. He was the largest foreign investor in Russia until November 2005, when he was suddenly denied entry to the country and declared a threat to national security by Russian government officials. He has been his lawyer, Sergei Bintnitsky, who died in a Russian prison after uncovering a $230 million fraud committed by Russian government officials. He has since the Magnitsky death, as a result of Bill Browder's campaign, the Sergei Magnitsky Rule of Law Accountability Act was signed into U.S. law in 2012, and he's now seeking to have this legislation enacted across the European Union. So let's deal with that. The EU, and as I mentioned in the opening, Bill Browder, if you really want to be serious about going after Putin's money, and clearly since he's a former intelligence officer, he knows how to use cutouts, surely you have to go after these money laundering havens such as Luxembourg, Cyprus, Switzerland, and the Pacific island of Nauru. And I'm curious to know, since you're in London, the extent to which the Russian oligarchs in England have influenced the climate there to make it more conducive for Putin to launder his money.
Well, so first of all, Europe is the key to controlling Putin. You know, you can impose as many sanctions as you want in America, and he doesn't have that much stuff in America. He's got stuff all over Europe. All of his, what I call oligarch trustees, the oligarchs who hold his money for him, have stuff all over Europe, and that's where his interests are. So in order to get him, you got to sanction, the Europeans have to sanction him, not just the Americans. And then the question is, will the Europeans sanction him? And the answer is that as you pointed out, there's a lot of this Russian money sloshing around, making a lot of people rich beyond the oligarchs. There's real estate agents who are getting rich, and art dealers, and restaurateurs, and jewelers, and private bankers, and all sorts of people getting rich off the Russians. And these are the types of people who tend to be politically well-connected. So in the UK, for example, the government there was a document that was caught on camera as a government minister was entering into 10 Downing Street, where David Cameron, the prime minister, lives. And it was filmed on television, and the document said we should talk tough and try to do absolutely nothing as far as sanctions go. And it was very revealing, this particular document, because it tells you exactly what's going on in the minds of people in Britain and many other of the 27 countries in Europe. And for them to actually impose sanctions, they all have to agree. All 27 countries in Europe have to agree. And so you can have some little country like Cyprus or Luxembourg actually try to veto the sanctions against Russia because it affects their economic interests. And that's why right now the Americans are much more tough on the sanctions, have a much, much tougher sort of discussion and implementation than the Europeans do.
So, Bill Browder, why do you think Putin needs money? I mean, he has, as the New York Times article points out, he has so many perks as president. He's got a billion-dollar palace that they're building for him down on the Black Sea, and he has all the power in the world, so at least in terms of being the kind of the new czar. So why, and so I don't understand what it, why he would want to, you know, accrue all of this money. I mean, there was this, Boris Nemtsov, who's an opposition leader, so I suppose he's not entirely trustworthy, but nevertheless, he's somebody that I think has a pretty decent reputation, although he's given to hyperbole occasionally, that he says that Putin has got 20 residences, 15 helicopters, 4 yachts, and 43 aircraft at his disposal as the head of state. So why does he need all this money?
Well, you know, you're approaching this as like a normal, reasonable person says, here's my values, why doesn't he have my values? The answer is that he's a sort of homicidal, sociopathic dictator. He doesn't have your psychology and your values. He just wants everything. He wants absolute power. He wants all the money. He wants everything. He doesn't want anyone to say anything bad about him. And it's just his own psychology, which is impossible for a normal person to understand. But he just wants it. And you know, is there a rational reason? The answer is no. I mean, and the other thing is that he'll never be able to enjoy the money, even if he gets to keep it, because he's got to stay president in order to keep his money, because most of the money is not in his own name. The money is in names of other people who are holding it for him. The moment that he's not president, when he calls them up for the money, they're going to say, Vladimir who?
But we're running out of time here. I just wanted to touch on this big Swiss-based firm that's the world's fourth largest oil trader, generating $91 billion in revenues last year, Gunvor. Supposedly that is the smoking gun as far as, and they're of course denying it. What do you know about them?
Well, I don't want to say too much on the radio because they sue every single person that says anything about them. They hire the most expensive law firm in London and sue everybody. They sued the Economist and had them tied up in court for years because they said that Putin was friends with the guy who runs it. And so what I can tell you is that the United States government said that they hold Putin's money. I can only repeat what the United States government has said because I don't want to end up spending 2 years in court with wasting my time with these guys. But it tells you something if they're so sensitive that you know maybe there's behind that sensitivity, God knows what there is.
Well, my understanding is that Putin was quite freaked out by what happened to Yanukovych, and he's kind of disdainful of Yanukovych and what he's offering to the world or to the Russian people. And by the way, he's got enormous support in Russia. He's incredibly popular. I even spoke with a very educated Russian academic the other night who's very, very taken with Putin. He's reviving a sense of pride and nationalism in them. They love his kind of gangsterish kind of tone of talk and his tough guy image. I mean, it's working for him, isn't it?
Well, it was working for Adolf Hitler with the Germans. I mean, there's nothing more effective than sort of raw, maniacal nationalism. And, you know, if you could get everyone riled up into a nationalist frenzy, that works. It works in lots of places. The problem is that it only leads to bad results. I mean, you know, so we're not living in a world where you can sort of, you know, go and take over other countries and subjugate people of different nationalities and so on and so forth. But, you know, Putin is still living in a world that you know we thought we had sort of grown out of, you know, many years ago. It's, you know, it may work for the Russians right now in the same way as Hitler made it work for the Germans, but this is not going to work in the long term for him.
Well, Bill Browder, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Bill Browder, who's the chief executive and founder of Hermitage Capital Markets. He was the largest foreign investor in Russia until November of 2005, when he was suddenly denied entry into the country and declared a threat to national security by the Russian government for exposing corruption. Since 2009, when his lawyer, Sergei Magnitsky, died in a Russian prison after uncovering $230 million fraud committed by Russian government officials, he's been leading a global campaign to expose the corruption and human rights abuses endemic in Russia. As a result of his campaign, the Sergei Magnitsky Rule of Law Accountability Act was signed into U.S. law in 2012, imposing visa bans and asset freezes on certain officials involved in Magnitsky's death. Browder is currently working to have similar legislation passed across the European Union as a means to seek justice for Magnitsky and fight corruption, government-backed corruption in Russia. We're going to take a brief station break and back talking on this Freedom Day, the 20th anniversary of the end of apartheid in South Africa.